Hi, this is Hope.
This is Kareem.
Hi, this is Katie from Washington, D.C., and you're listening to No Meat
Athlete
Radio.
All right, hello, everyone. Welcome to No Meat Athlete Radio. It's Friday, March 8th. Good vibes. Actually, this won't go up to the podcast till Monday, so I guess that won't be good vibes by the time you listen to this Monday. But if you're here live, you get the good vibes. Just me and Isabel today. Isabel, how are you doing?
Great. It is. Yeah, it's currently snowing here. I'm a weather gal for sure, but it's currently snowing, which is always so nice because I'm like, I get to look forward to going outside and play in the snow a little bit.
Yeah. You actually look forward to that?
With kids. By myself. No, hard pass, but
right.
It's like magic.
I think to myself, once I had kids, it just turned into a monstrous chore to get them outside and back inside and outside again and again.
That
killed my snow joy. I just stopped. I like days off for snow, but going out, I'm out of that.
Just send them out with nothing on. Just say,
yeah,
good luck.
Right. I mean, that's the old way to do it, right?
That's true.
Nature's babysitter. Let nature babysit them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, let's see. So Colorado is snowing. Do you ever go to Coors Field in Denver?
I have been there. Yes. Baseball. I don't often go there, but I have been there.
Okay. They have a new plant-based kiosk or stall or something coming this baseball season. It'll be there. Four different plant-based options, all vegan meats, which is what we're talking about today.
Different brands, or is it just like different kinds?
I couldn't tell. I didn't see any brand name listed, so I don't think it's like an impossible partnership or anything like that. I think it's just... you know, just their, I mean, who knows? Whatever their caterer is, does the burgers, I guess.
Well, now I'm going to have to go there and do an interview, see what's going on.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course, Field.
We can do live on location show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're talking about plant-based meats today, so we'll get into that. I'm curious whether you'll eat that at all because your response to my post a while ago about Beyond Meat's new recipe, you were less than excited. It was kind of a, who cares? It's still terrible. So we'll get into that in a minute.
But that's not what I said, everyone.
Okay. I'm summarizing.
Yeah.
To get us going, though, we talked yesterday about this ad, and it seems like a lot of people have talked about this ad, this new Daiya ad, which now we know it's Daiya, not Daiya, the cheese company.
Daiya?
So the actual ad, the voiceover says the product name, and it like makes you do a double take because like everyone for however long, 15 years, has been saying Daiya.
Daiya, yeah.
I actually knew this. I have a friend who went to a dietitian conference and they were there and they said it's Daiya. They told him. But I just kind of figured they would have embraced Daiya by now, but no, I guess not. Anyway, the commercial was them showing their cheese or their, if you can call that cheese, whatever you'd call that,
plant-based
starch oil mixture on top of regular all beef burgers. And they said it was maybe the most controversial commercial ever, which, you know, overstated it a little bit, I think, but still has ruffled some feathers in the vegan community. People are saying they're no longer one of us. They're not an ally because they're targeting meat eaters with this product. So, you know, I'm just curious what you think, Isabel. Like, I don't mind the idea. I think it's really good. I just think the product is so bad that I don't know. It's not going to work. I mean, no one's going to actually keep eating that if you're not a vegan and don't have a reason to eat that.
Not necessarily. Like if you have a dairy allergy, like that's a big reason to use vegan cheese.
Yeah, but Doug brought that up yesterday. That is true.
Yeah. No, for me, I mean, I saw that. To be honest, I wax and wane. One, I think vegan cheese is delicious. Not
that
something I buy. What?
Like you think that product is delicious? Like that kind of?
I don't know if I've had the Daiya slices.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I've had like Open Nature, which I think is at our like local grocery store. But anyway, I go back and forth. I rarely do I buy vegan cheese, mostly because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And I like, if I look at it, I'm like, do I want to spend $7 on some cheese? Or like, will our family just go without cheese like we have for many, many, many years? And most of the time I choose to just go without cheese or I make my own. I do make my own cheese. So that's a good replacement for me sometimes. But I tend to lean in the, I think this is a good thing because mm-hmm. it is it's not the, you know, hard and fast line of like, if you're vegan, you eat vegan cheese. That's the only people that eat it. Nobody else eats it. Like, it's more open and more welcoming. And I think, you know, if people are willing to explore these kind of different things, I mean, just like vegan meats, like we're going to talk about, if you're willing to explore it and try it and like see what you think, I mean, to me, like that's one less cow that's dead. That's one less cow that we don't need milk from. Mm-hmm. And those are all good things to me. So
yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm with you. I think that blurring the line between people who eat vegan food and people who eat omnivore, I think that's like the better potential for getting what most people want, which is less animals to be harmed. Mm-hmm. I think that's, to me, that's the way to do it, rather than saying like, no, that line is really solid and we just need to increase the number of people on this other vegan side of the line. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't seem to be working well. I mean, we have 1% of the US population has said they are vegan, despite what seems like 10 or 15 years of good solid growth up until 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't really buy that's going to ever hit some tipping point where suddenly everybody is eating that way. Seems like a lot of incentives and things will push people towards more plant-based foods. But I think you're right that like the getting people to do both is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyway, hello, Anne-Marie, who's here. She listened to Matt Tolman's and my protein episode this morning, where we did mention a little bit about plant-based meats. That's actually what gave me the idea for this show. Garuda Legends also here, who I know is not a fan of plant-based meats in general, but says he will buy the day of vegan cheese and give his opinion on Monday or Tuesday. I look forward to hearing that, Garuda, because yeah. I'm a staunch opponent of the flavor of that day of cheese. I hate that stuff.
Is it just that specific cheese that you don't like?
I haven't really found, like, I like the artisan kind, like the Miyoko's cheese, like that. I can enjoy mm-hmm. that. That doesn't really go on a sandwich. I don't think they have a product like that. Or I guess you could put their mozzarella on pizza. Yeah, that's what it's for. And that's okay. I don't mind that stuff. But these ones that are like in most grocery stores, they just, to me, are like, it just makes the food worse. Like, I would much rather have a pizza with no cheese on it than with the day of cheese on there. It just, I don't know. It's just so plasticky and fake. And it's also not good for you. It's whatever, coconut oil and starch. Now they have some new recipes.
I mean, it's oat cream. Yeah. Cheese. Yeah. Like, it still is fat that you're putting on something, like just straight up saturated fat.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, there's that opinion. Check it out. I saw the ad at adweek.com. You probably can go Google it if anyone is interested in seeing it. But let's shift to the plant-based meat. So this is a topic that, I mean, I don't know. It's changed a lot in the past 2 or 3 years. I think around COVID time, shortly after that, it was like the boom time and everyone was saying Beyond Meats, Impossible Meats, this stuff is going to be what everyone eats by 2030 or something. Like, that's just going to be where it goes. It's going to keep getting better and people will embrace it because it does so many good things, for the environment, for animals, potentially for your health. And that didn't happen and people didn't embrace it at all. And it has become like almost like the rallying cry of the carnivore types. Is that like, why would you eat that, you know, manufactured Frankenfood stuff when you can just go eat, you know, the whole food, the actual burger, the actual steak, like the thing that has, they say, one ingredient compared to this list of ingredients that is in these foods. So, mm-hmm. So I don't know. And they have this weird role, like within the vegan community, there's this like, people kind of recognize their junk food largely. I don't think many people think of them as like, oh, that's a protein source, so therefore it's good. But I might be wrong. Maybe they do. So you always hear that, like, you know, they're good for certain stuff. They're good for going to a barbecue or whatever, but they're not, shouldn't be part of your healthy all the time diet. And then there's research recently that kind of shows that they're maybe healthy. I mean, like compared to other ultra processed foods, they tend, at least the studies I've seen, they show that they don't have the longer term risks of cardiovascular disease and even certain cancers that other UPF does. And there's the famous swap meat study where they compared the Beyond Burgers to the regular burgers. Christopher Gardner did that study. It was funded by Beyond Meat, so you got to disclose that part. But it did show that Beyond Meat did better with certain markers for cardiovascular disease and I think diabetes. than the 8 weeks people would spend eating regular meat before they switched or after they switched to the Beyond. So anyway, there's some, it's not clear that like, it's a terrible food for you. So I don't know. I don't really know what to think about them. I mean, I have some opinions, but I guess let's start with you as well, because you, like I said, you do not have a favorable reaction to Beyond's new recipe, which I think has avocado oil instead of coconut oil. What do you think? What's your
policy? My reaction was pretty much like, I know that there, someone brought up on our team, like the smoke point difference and like what that might do with like the cooking of the oils. But like, to me, it's still an oil. It's still a processed food. Like it still is something that we are packaging. Like it is not a whole food because it goes through processing. But like, I also eat other things that go through processing too. So to me, like that's my own personal opinion. The oil type doesn't really matter. It's the same thing when I buy like vegan butter. There's like avocado oil ones and regular oil and coconut oil ones. And I'm all across the board. But that's because I, in my health markers, that's not something that I'm personally pay attention to or care about with my health journey. That doesn't mean that it's not important for other people and for their health journey. And like, I think it's great that you know, Beyond is recognizing that they want to make that shift to a different oil, potentially because it might be a quote unquote healthier oil. But to me, it's just still oil. And that's kind of how I feel about plant-based meats in general. I do buy them, not often, again, mostly because they're expensive. Like, and that I wonder if that's one of the barriers to them becoming, you know, a bigger deal in our eating world, is that they are more expensive than the other thing. And if that is, you know, if that is a concern, or if like your socioeconomic status is, you know, you have $5 for it, not $15 for it or whatever, like that's a significant barrier too.
Yeah. I mean, that we talk about these things a lot on the morning show and the statistics around them. And that definitely is one, the price issue. The problem is it's not like, I think eventually they will be cheaper than regular meat. Like that's, I think most people believe that, that's not far off. Mm-hmm. The problem is there's still the taste issue that you got to get around. This is for talking about omnivores eating them. Vegans, I think will do it. They're not concerned about the taste. It's good enough. But you know, to get people to choose that over regular meat, there's the taste, there's the price, like we said. And then there's this kind of newer like health concern. There's this idea that it's just a food made in a lab as far as people are concerned. Ultra processed, you know, that term has, I think, come out, but basically has grown to popularity basically as an attack against these plant-based meats. Even though they, like I said, they seem not to be quite as guilty as of the health problems that others do.
I mean, it still comes back to the root, like to the root of the issue, is that like a plant-based meat is still plants. And like, it's all plants that are put into that versus animal protein that has different fats that we have seen that like increase cardiovascular markers and have like different issues. Like that is still a component of it too.
Yeah, right. And that's why in the shorter term, it seems that it does have health benefits compared to the real thing. But like for me, and I question this as well, every time I buy that or choose to eat it, like I'm wondering like, what about 20, 30 years from now? Like, is this going to, you know, give us cancer or just do something that's like we just didn't foresee because it's this very unnatural way of eating and a new thing that has not been done. I don't know that much about it. I honestly don't know how different is the pea protein in Beyond Meat from the pea protein that's in a vegan protein powder, right? Because people often consider that a health food. This may be just the same thing plus some avocado oil now or whatever else. So I don't know. I don't know that much about actually what is inside of it. And I'd be more curious anyway about the health outcomes than what it is made of. But anyway, yeah, I'm with you there. I just don't know how to feel about it. I actually do avoid coconut oil for the most part for heart health reasons. It's just not, like I have high cholesterol, and that is one that when I eat coconut oil, it seems to impact my cholesterol. So this the change in the Beyond Meat recipe would actually make me eat them a little bit more often. But it doesn't really change the, you know, the underlying thing of like, this is a food made up of a bunch of kind of fake stuff, not a real food, like, you know, eating beans or even like a tofu version of a tofu burger or a tofu made fake meat. And so really in reality, like that's what we end up eating mostly is we will buy, what's it called? Tofurky brand sausage type things. Like, I like the Beyond ones. Like, they taste really good, those Beyond sausages, and they're great in like a pasta dish or something. Mm-hmm. But they're, to me, they're just not nearly as I can't feel as good about eating them as something that is made out of tofu and wheat gluten, which is what tofurkey is. And it doesn't have the coconut oil, so it doesn't have the saturated fat. So, like, it's just, on a lot of counts, that's a better choice for me. It's still just, I don't know. I just don't, it just, it's still ultra processed food. And I just don't really like the idea of basing my diet around that. So it's just something I do less now. I've kind of gotten just sick of them. But I don't know. I am interested in the new ones. Matt Tolman yesterday said that there's sort of a, people are saying there's like a second, maybe it's the third wave of plant-based meats. The first one was the Boca Burgers, the early attempts. And Boca Burgers aren't bad. I actually still think they're pretty good, but, then came out this Beyond Impossible, this new technology stuff that was going to make them so much better. And now it's like responding to this desire on a lot of people's part, I think, to go from this high-tech vegan food back to actual plants, and where you actually can see the plants, or at least if you can't see them in the burger or in the food, you can see the ingredient list is pretty much just plants, beans, not a lot of whatever, isolated protein or concentrated proteins. Mm-hmm. And that's starting to happen. So like meaty foods, have you tried the meaty yet? M-E-A-T-I?
I have. Yeah. I tried like a chicken sandwich thingy that I tried. It was really good, but I don't know.
What very, was very chicken-like. Well, so meaty is like, to me, the cleanest label of the plant-based meats. It's mycelium, which is mushroom root fiber. And like, that's pretty much it. Like, there might be a little bit more in there. Of course, in a breaded patty, there would be, but it's not that much else. And it's like, apparently people who even are allergic to mushrooms can usually tolerate this. Some people cannot. They have a reaction. But I thought it was actually like the most like real meat that I've had. We don't know that much about mycelium, but I think it seems that it's a very clean source of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So the texture is it. I liked the texture of that one as well, but I think it's I think there's a rise in the like whole food movement. That's kind of what I feel like is happening right now, because we hear a lot about the UPFs, the ultra processed food, which what is it called? The shortened thing acronym. Acronym. Thank you. Couldn't think of that word. Yeah. The acronym, like I've never heard that until like a couple months ago. And so I think that's the movement that we're in right now, is this like whole food versus ultra processed, and the plant-based meats do often fall into that ultra processed field. And so, you know, it's, you know, shunning the ultra processed.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, other things like I guess we should talk about whether it's good for the movement or not. Because it's hard to talk about them without that. I think in the beginning people thought surely it was, because it suddenly it would make mainstream people choose a vegan burger. I was pretty early, I must say, and it wasn't my idea, I got it from a friend, but that saying this is not necessarily a good thing, because in 10 years, and this was probably 5-7 years ago, I was saying this, the studies are going to come out that show, you know, vegan diet, not actually that healthy, because for most people, for a lot of people, it's now made up of a whole bunch of foods that weren't there 10 years ago. And you lose that. Like, it used to be that it was an inconvenient diet to eat, but it was so healthy, and it was healthy because of its inconvenience. You couldn't just go stop anywhere while you were driving to get a plant-based meal. You'd have to plan and prepare, and the same would go for your dinners and everything else. But like, it's just gotten so easy to eat plant-based kind of fake food really all the time. And so that is, you know, that is of course what is the big talk now, is this diet with this stuff actually healthy? Thankfully, a lot of studies now are starting to do a new thing, which is the unhealthy plant-based diet versus the healthy plant-based diet index. When they do their studies, they survey people on what they eat, and they give them some sort of score that shows where they are on that spectrum. And what a lot of them are showing is that the healthy plant-based diet does really good things, and the unhealthy plant-based diet is no better than an omnivorous diet, or maybe worse than one, perhaps, if you're comparing it to like a whole food omnivorous diet. So, as it stands now, they're not, I don't think they're good for the movement. Right. I think it has contributed to a ton of fighting and kind of made us vulnerable to attacks that we can't really defend much against, like, 'cause it's suddenly this diet is so processed. But I guess in the long term, maybe. What do you think?
Well, first, like, why? I guess, you know, you said that we it opens us up to these fights. What do you mean by that? Tell me more.
Well, I mean, it used to be that a vegan diet had the health argument that said, look at the studies, look at lots of things. This diet is healthier than one that has a lot of meat in it. Now we can't, you know, so clearly say that anymore. When the diet is full of ultra processed food, and vegans eat more ultra processed food than a typical omnivorous eater. That is another statistic that I've seen. And so, like, you know, that is now a pretty thing. If we believe in whole foods and we believe a whole food diet is essential to health, you know, maybe the most foundational thing is eat whole foods and you'll be fine. You can't really say that a vegan diet does that anymore. So that's a pretty big downside as far as the movement to me.
Yeah. It's almost like as we plant-based folks like try to increase the amount of people that are plant-based eaters, it's almost like the food quality has gone down as we've been trying to do that, which is exactly what it is. I mean, Beyond Burgers, Impossible Burgers are meant to replace a meat burger to help people eat plant-based foods, but those aren't, you know, the whole food plant-based foods that are actually high on the health score. And I guess I go back and forth. I think that it the movement because it obviously increases the amount of plant-based foods people are eating. And it's a soft welcome to plant-based eating. Like, it's not like you have to all of a sudden jump and figure out how to cook with chickpeas and lentils and barley and, you know, all these different things. It's like, oh, I can just go to the store, buy some vegan cheese, buy some vegan meat, and like, boom, I have this plant-based meal. I don't know. I think I'm on both sides of the fence. I think it could be beneficial as a introduction, or it can be beneficial as an introduction to the plant-based movement. But ultimately what you're saying in terms of like the health outcomes, that's gonna be the problem all day long. Is like if there's so much of this eating of ultra processed foods or convenience foods, I feel like there's gotta be like a bell curve where we hit point of like, oh, we're just eating too much of these foods and it makes it less healthy than before. And I also think it's really common for the vegan diet or plant-based diet to be demonized a little bit in you know, these people think that their health is like so much better and blah, 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 blah. And I think it's easy to be like, oh, look, you're eating all of these foods. It's not actually healthy. Boom. Win.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I mean, like if as you said, it is easier, it makes an easier on-ramp, but I wonder, and I don't know anything about the statistics here, but like how many people who start a plant-based diet by just replacing the chicken on their plate with a plant-based version of chicken, and they do the same with the steak and they do the same with the burger. And now they are eating a plant-based diet, assuming they've found a way to cut the, you know, dairy or whatever else out, which is probably a smaller percentage. They're doing that. Like how many of those people continue from there and say, okay, now I'm eventually going to go find how to actually cook vegan food and make different, whole different style of food and lots more vegetables than I used to eat, lots more maybe different whole grains I've never had before, all that stuff, versus just staying there and saying, I'm now eating a plant-based diet, so I'm checking these boxes for environmental health and the animal rights stuff that is important to me. And I don't know. And then because I think that person's probably not going to observe much in the way of a health benefit. I just don't, if you're eating that processed meat 2-3 times a day, I mean, processed plant-based meats, and not really drastically changing much else. I don't know. I just don't think that's a difference. The plant-based diet, we said, was so healthy because it involved all these other things, beans and whole grains and fruits and vegetables and things that are different from what's on a standard American diet. So, I don't know. I don't know what place they have. It's hard to say. And then cultivated meat, of course, the lab-grown meat where they're growing real meat from stuff. That, I mean, that's not far off. 3, 5, maybe 7 years away from being commonplace if people want it to be, if people want it that much. And that will change the conversation a whole lot too. Cause then, mm-hmm. then the environmental probably, and the ethical thing goes away and it's just about health. So who knows where that will go. But I guess to me, like, it's nice to know that the future of the plant-based movement doesn't depend on the eventual acceptance of these meat substitutes, because I just don't know if it's going to happen. I think there's too much resistance to the idea of eating this, what people consider fake food.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, I like going back to, I think it was Beyond that did like the orange chicken with, what is the,
yeah.
the with, chain restaurant?
Kung, what, yeah, not Kung Fu Panda, no. Panda Express.
Panda Express, yeah. We went to Panda Express like probably, I don't even know, 5 months ago or something. And I was actually excited because I was like, oh, I remember they have the orange chicken. I want to try it. And they didn't yeah. have it anymore. Right. Because like, it didn't work. So they just cut it from their menus. And that, I think, unfortunately, might continue to happen for a little while. Like, we'll get really excited. We'll try these things. And then they'll just fall flat. Because if you know, if there's still the two choices, I think a lot of omnivores or, you know, people who are a little hesitant towards the plant-based movement, like, they'll continue to choose the chicken or choose the meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we've seen, at least.
Yeah. And if you're like, I think eat whole foods is such a simple criterion for health. Like, if you do that, you don't really need to count macros or do a whole lot of really complicated things around nutrition. And so I love that rule of thumb, and others like it, the old Michael Pollan stuff about don't eat things your grandmother wouldn't recognize as food and don't eat things that have more than 5 ingredients. Like, those are just great rules, I think, mm-hmm. Compared to complicated nutrition stuff. And so, like, when you default to those, it's easy to see why people choose a real piece of chicken over, you know, something that has a whole bunch of stuff that your grandmother wouldn't recognize. Mm-hmm. So I do get it for sure. Interestingly, we talk about this on the morning show all the time. In Europe, those tests, like the Beyond or the Beyond Orange Chicken, I don't think they did that specific one, but these tests mm-hmm. work and they last, and the foods keep getting more and more of it, like the McDonald's McPlant or whatever. That's over there. Burger King in Germany, at least, has every item on the menu. It like has a plant-based option. Maybe not all the time, or maybe not all of them have lasted, but a whole lot of them have. So it's weird. Like, we talk about this, how this plant-based meat appears to be failing, but it's an entirely different story over in Europe. And you wonder if they're just kind of ahead of the curve and like, we will eventually get there in this country, or is the political stuff and something, are we just fundamentally different here and it's just not going to happen? And I don't know the answer to that, but yeah. there is some hope for it over there, at least. So I don't know. Yeah. So hello, Leslie Knight, Britters. You just checked in. Britters loves your earring. Phyllis Hauser as well is here. So good to see everybody. These are morning show regulars. Hello. I guess where we will leave it, Isabel, is to bring it back to practical. Like, what do you actually do? How often do you actually eat these plant-based meats? Do you feel good about it when you do? And is that your plan going forward? Do you want to consume less of them? Are you open to consuming more? Are you just pretty happy with what you do and how it works? And you've got two kids. So yeah. Like, these are important decisions, not just for you, right? But for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm pretty happy with the balance that we have. We probably have plant-based meats maybe like once or twice a month. And I will freely admit, like, a lot of it comes down to cost for me. Like, yes, could I buy a package of Beyond sausages for $12? I could, but when they're on sale for $6, I'm much more likely to purchase them. And to me, I'm like, I use them as like complements to whatever I'm making. So very rarely do we actually just do like a burger and fries or something like that. Like, I'll get the sausages and make them in with a pasta or with like a scramble or something like that. So I typically pair them with other meals or other pieces of the meal that I'm making. And a lot of times, like I said, like, I can put other things. I can make some tofu to put in there. I can make some seitan to put in there. I can use some beans and put that in there too. So they're not really core to anything that I make, other than occasionally, you know, like the burgers and fries or zucchini or roasted veggies on the grill, like those kind of things. I like to do that every once in a while, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. But like I said, probably once or twice a month, not a huge part of our diet. My husband likes them. He is not fully plant-based. He's probably like 95%. But as a not fully plant-based person, he really likes them because it's a meat alternative. And he likes the taste, and you know, we can have that in the house. But yeah, I like the balance that we have struck. I don't necessarily, I lean towards the side. I do like the plant-based meats, but again, not often am I including them. How about you?
Definitely we eat them more than that. I think for convenience purposes, just with the kids, like we talked about on, I think this was last week, this very show, I was saying just how hard it is for us to find time to cook dinners anymore. I mean, nearly impossible most nights to like have a family dinner. It is impossible to have a family dinner, but so we do use them more than I would like. I would say probably twice a week we will have something, some sort of plant-based meat, either the tofurkey sausage, which again, I'm not too worried about it. I think it's an okay food. Although I'm getting sick of it, I must say, we just have it too much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the occasional thing I will say may happen once a week, probably not. Maybe it's less. I don't know. Where you're out or you get something and the only thing they have is a Beyond Burger or whatever. Yeah, or whatever. Like the kids will eat chicken tenders, the Gardein brand, I think they're called Ultimate Chicken Tenders. So like we'll make them for them. And then I'll eat two of them because we just happened to make them. And I didn't really mean that to be my meal, but like made it and they seem good, smelled good. So I'll eat that. I would say I'd like to eat less than them. I'm not at my peak. I peaked early in the morning show career when we were just talking about the news every day of the new ones. I don't know. But I'm always curious to try new ones when they do come out. So I don't know. It's hard for me to say that I'll get away from them. But I'd like to get where you are, where like it's just an occasional thing and we just mostly default to cooking whole foods. I'd like to get back to that because I just don't like that I – over time gradually started doing this. It was never in 10 years ago when I said like, this is where I'll be. I would have said, no, I don't want that stuff very much. It's a very special, you know, now and then treat. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd like to get back to that. So you don't think of it then as a protein source. Cause like, I mean, as like this is a good food protein source, because when I've done a couple experiments with like diets, like, the Tim Ferriss slow carb diet, for example, you're supposed to eat beans. Every meal is basically beans, a vegetable and a protein source. And he didn't make it for vegetarians, vegan. So it's, you would eat meat normally, but what I'm stuck with protein is very often tofu. Feel okay about that one. Although I don't like having that, you know, every day of the week, it just seems like I don't want any food that often. And so when I've done that, it's very easy and tempting to just put in the plant meats because there are a lot of protein, not much else. And like for that diet, it works. And like for whatever it's worth, I get the objective of the diet, right? The losing of fat, like that isn't impeded by the fact that these are plant-based meats and not real meats. Like it works fine for that. So it works as a protein source. But then I'm like, thankfully that's not a diet I'm trying to do for the long term. It's just a thing I do every now and then for 8 or 12 weeks and just kind of lose some fat. So I don't know, but you as an ultra runner, you're not thinking like this is protein source. This is a good thing.
Yeah, I don't really view them as, I mean, they obviously are a protein source, but I don't really view them as that. Honestly, since I went like fully plant-based probably like 7 years ago, I don't really think about my macros anymore. I used to a lot. Like I was a little bit of a gym rat and like did pretty hard, like counting macros, figuring that all out, making sure that I like have my protein shake and then my more protein to have the max amount. Honestly, I've found that I just don't need it personally for my body. And it's not something that I'm looking for either. So like as an ultra runner, I focus more on like my carbs intake to make sure that I have enough energy. Yeah. And when it comes to like fueling for runs, a little bit of peanut butter or sun butter or whatever, or some nuts, like that's normally my little bit of protein source. So yeah, I really think of them, like I said, as like a complement to the meal that I'm making, not necessarily. I've really gotten away from the, like, you know, you need your starch, you need your veggie, you need your protein to make a balanced meal. I really don't think that way anymore. And I think the plant-based diet really helped me to think beyond. And the variety you mentioned as well, you said you were getting a little sick of the tofurkey, like that. That's a piece for me too, is I like to make a variety of different meals. And I think if I had a lot of plant-based meats around, I probably wouldn't make as much of variety. Like I would probably do a lot of pasta dishes, which I love pasta dishes. But I don't know if I would you know, make Indian food because I like, if I have sausage sitting in the freezer, that's more convenient for me to like whip up a pasta dish versus
make something else. Yeah. I like your point about using it to complement meals, because that's like, if you look at the blue zones where they're not eating Beyond Meat by any means, right? They're using regular meat, but they are doing it in that way. It's a complement to the meals. It's every now and then. If it is every night or every dinner, it's a tiny amount. And I think more often in those blue zones, at least in the cultures, you know, whatever it was a few generations ago, it would be like a once every week or two, they'd have sort of a celebration kind of meal that would involve the meat and otherwise mostly plant-based foods. That's a great way to use them, to use the plant-based meats, I think, as well. And I think if you do that, the amount you're consuming is so low that I don't think there's going to be much difference to your health compared to a blue zoner who's eating actual meat that same relatively rare frequency. So I really like that. And honestly, that is what we do. When I say we eat Beyond Sausage or tofurkey sausages, it's not that we all get a hot dog bun and eat a sausage on the bun or two of them. It's that we make a pasta dish and we'll use two or three of those links for the, you know, for the whole family. Mostly we're eating other stuff. Now the pasta itself, that's not necessarily healthful either, but that's a different story. So a couple things from the audience before we get out of here. Ritter says, I've been using TVP and soy curls more nowadays for Mexican dishes versus Impossible or Beyond. Those were popular in the old days. I don't see soy curls in the store very much. I don't know where you actually go to get them.
They're normally, now they're like the crumbles. You know how like Beyond has like, I think they have
and TVP I know is like in that crumble form. But I've had soy curls before and the ones I've had are like chewy, you know, strips. But I never see them in a store and I don't know much about their health or how they're made. Britta's gets them from Amazon. Okay. Thanks. That's good to know.
Nice.
Anne-Marie says, I'm an outlier. No pun intended. I don't eat them at all. As far as I know, Anne-Marie's diet is very strict, in terms of whole food, plant-based. So not surprised there. And Britta's also says that I was macro counting nut pre plant-based when I was doing Olympic lifting, but now as an ultra runner, doesn't cross her mind. And so, yeah, that makes sense too. It's interesting to me though, right? Like that someone who's into lifting and building muscle feels like that needs to have macro counting, and someone who's trying to run ultra marathons, which is no easier a task, right? That's still a pretty intensive thing for your body. That feels like they don't need to worry about that. Just eat carbohydrates.
I think it's more about like the way that you view. For me, Britta, I'd love to hear your opinion, but for me, it was like the diet. I used to have a ton of protein powder. I would do like regular whey protein and casein protein both every day because I was like, I need to build muscle. Like that's how I'm gonna, you know, be skinny and fast and all these things. And I just have found that that's not at all the case. Like I don't even know how much protein I eat now because like I said, I don't count macros or anything, and I feel way better now than I did before. And I attribute that to, you know, to the plant-based diet. That's probably a whole nother episode, but like the counting macros and like knowing kind of your diet versus a little bit more freedom. That's something where again, I don't think about plant-based meats as protein, something I need to have in my diet.
Right. Yeah, I think something that just occurred to me is that like someone who's doing Olympic lifts in the gym or just doing CrossFit or going to the gym a lot, like that person I think is typically interested a lot more than the ultra runner is in body composition, right? Like you're trying to, and I know that as me, when I'm doing a bunch of lifting, like I'm looking at how much I'm adding muscle and I'm trying to keep fat down. Like that's the only reason I would do that Tim Ferriss thing that I mentioned. Because I'm thinking about that stuff, which is, you know, I'm not here to judge whether that's good or bad. It's just sometimes that can be the motivator. But as an ultra runner, like the motivator is always the race and the time. And if you get to eat, you know, kind of more liberally and not have to worry so much about stuff, it doesn't seem that there's a massive impact on the time that you're going to finish your race in or how well you're going to train. Obviously, if you're eating a total junk food, of course it does. But like if you're eating a bunch of whole plant-based foods, it just doesn't matter. Whereas with diet, with body composition, if you're trying to lose fat and see six pack and all that, like certainly like it makes a huge difference. These very precise differences with that macro counting can get you. So I think to me, I'm a big fan of that blue zones thing. This way of eating where you don't think about numbers and food, you just eat food and you eat foods that generations of ancestors of yours have eaten, and it's a celebration and all that. And like, I guess at my age, like, I'm just more interested in that and being healthy for the long term than the body composition thing. Mm-hmm. Even if now and then I'll go back to that for a little bit. All right. So, let's see. Bridger says, I just shove food in my mouth now and see it as fuel. Yeah. I mean, I think that is the ultra running mindset in many ways.
How you do it.
I mean, it kind of is, cause you're going to burn off a lot of it just automatically.
Yep.
Amory's in a building phase now, lifting 4 times a week and eating more protein than when I was when I first went plant-based. So that's interesting. Ooh. I'm curious how you would do that. Probably more beans and things, knowing your, type of diet. Yeah. And Bridger says she lost 65 pounds and was pretty friggin' strong, but I feel way better now than back then. Yeah, I think that's right. I think people who are, maybe this isn't fair, but like if you are crushing it in the gym and body composition is great, it doesn't always mean that you're feeling all that great just because it looks great. And it doesn't necessarily mean good for long-term health either. I mean, it can be. I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive, but it's not always an indicator of a good, healthy diet.
Yeah. You can build a lot of muscle and cut a lot of fat without fueling your body in a way for long-term success.
Yep. Right. Good. All right. Well, I think we will leave it there. We're at 45 minutes. That was good. Thank you to everyone who showed up and who commented throughout the show. Really appreciate it. I don't know. I think this is our first two-person Nomadic Radio since you and I did one right before we made the switch over to the Outlier Health Network. So again, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably on the podcast, Outlier Health Podcast, at Spotify or Apple Health. We do the Plant-Based Morning Show live Tuesday through Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, and this show Friday 1 p.m. Eastern, which is Nomadathlete Radio. That's it, everyone. Enjoy, if you're here live, enjoy your weekend. If you're here on the podcast, enjoy the week. Get through the week, get through that Monday. Watch some extra TV shows, whatever. Eat some extra plant-based meats. You can make it. You'll get it.
Let us know what you think.
Okay. All right. Bye, Isabel.